Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of The Beaver Dam. It is Friday, and I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my partner in crime, Trent Mast. Trent, it's finally Friday. The weekend is finally here. I feel like it's been a long one.
Yeah.
But all in all, how has your week been? We'll discuss your soccer game here in a bit. But yeah, how's your week been, man?
Pretty busy, I would say. A lot of assignments this week. I mean, it's college, so
yeah.
I kind of have to expect that. But just with soccer, then doing this and schoolwork, it's just been pretty busy. And then Black Ops 4 came out last week, so I've been playing that a little bit with some of my friends back home. So
it's understandable. I still have not got that game yet. It looks fun. Is it fun?
Yeah, I'm just bad, so.
It's all right. It's all right. I probably will be at the same level you are. I haven't played competitively for Call of Duty since, God, I don't know how long. Like, forever, honestly.
I'm good at World War II, and then just all this sliding and all these different guns I'm not used to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Call of Duty. You have to go back to that futuristic stuff that they made a lot of money on. I like the Call of Duties where, like, World War II. I haven't played it yet, but, I mean, that's the Call of Duty I grew up playing.
Yeah, like, I really like that one. I do like the Battle Royale mode in this new one, though. I've gotten...
Is it like Fortnite?
Yeah, it's more like PUBG.
I haven't played that.
You pick up the ammo, you get backpacks, you body armor.
Okay.
Like, when you kill somebody, their stuff doesn't go, like, everywhere. It's just, like... is in like a bag and you can loot certain things out of it that you want.
Right.
But I've gotten second and third on that. I was so close to winning, but I get so anxious. I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh no, there's two left. It's a 1v1. And then I start like sweating a little
panicking,
bit.
Yep.
I'm like, oh no. Like, I thought I had him killed. He like ran in the storm. I lost him and he snuck up behind me and killed me.
Oh, what a little doo-doo head.
It's okay. I'll get there eventually. My brother's really good. So I'm trying to link up with him, but
yeah.
Just hasn't worked out yet. Schedules are clashing instead of working together. So
I understand that. So moving on from all that's going on in our lives, you guys don't really want to hear about that. You want to hear about our opinions on sports, looking at stuff going on outside of Bluffton in the major league and the higher collegiate level. Game 6 is tonight between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers. The Dodgers took a 3-2 series lead on Wednesday night, beating the Brewers 5-2. I'm happy about that. I'm a little nervous, though, heading into this weekend. We got Hyunjin Ryu against Wade Miley. The weird thing is, to me, they started Wade Miley, the Brewers did, on Wednesday. He pitched like 5 pitches, and they pulled him. Craziest thing I've ever seen. So now he's getting the start tonight. I mean, the Dodgers, how I feel, they need to get a victory tonight. Because if it goes, game 7 is going to be rough. My biggest worry was Wednesday's game. Game 5 in LA, we really needed a win. Because if we didn't pull out that win on Wednesday and coming into Milwaukee tonight, it probably would have been over.
Oh yeah, rough road games.
Oh yeah, no question. So that is a 8:39 first pitch time. That game will be nationally broadcasted on Fox Sports 1. Then tomorrow, if necessary, Game 7 between the Dodgers and the Brewers. That is a 9:09 start time, and that is also on Fox Sports 1. Moving on from baseball, looking at the NBA. The NBA season tipped off on Tuesday. Yeah, the NBA season is now underway, and it's a crazy thing to think about that basketball is already here. And Bluffton basketball will be fastly approaching in the next couple of weeks.
They just started practice, I believe, this week on Monday.
There's a big slate of games on Friday, the big televised game. Will be Boston at Toronto. That will be on at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And then the game after that on ESPN will be Golden State at Utah. That will be a 10:30 tip-off as well. Both of those games have a lot of potential to be great ones. I mean, Boston, they're getting Kyrie Irving back. They are getting Gordon Hayward back. And then you look at Toronto. where they just got Kawhi Leonard over the summer in a big blockbuster trade where the Spurs traded Kawhi to Toronto. Toronto traded DeMar DeRozan and a couple other players to San Antonio. I mean, the Raptors also got a couple of players from the Spurs as well, but that has a lot of big implications on it. I mean, Toronto on Wednesday, they beat the Cavaliers in their opening game 116-104. Cleveland going up to Toronto on Wednesday, dropping that game. And then with the Golden State-Utah game, I mean, Utah, they got Donovan Mitchell, who I think is entering his second year. He was a rookie last year, I do believe. And man, he lit him up, and having Rudy Gobert too back. And then Golden State, I mean, being Golden State, you got KD, Klay, Steph, Draymond, Boogie Cousins when he gets healthy. I mean, that team is going to be unstoppable. I know a lot of people were talking about when it came out that there's going to be a Space Jam 2 with LeBron, that they should just, with all the Monstars, just make it everybody, the starting five of the Warriors, like have the Monstars take the powers of the starting five from the Warriors. I think that was funny. That got a lot of attention, like, because, I mean, Golden State has a starting five of all-stars. Like, yeah. That's really insane and unheard of. But yeah, I mean, the NBA season's underway. I am unfortunately not doing fantasy basketball. That's just a lot harder than fantasy. Yeah, fantasy basketball is a thing. It's a lot harder than fantasy football.
Where have I been my entire life? Oh, because sure. You'd have to, like, switch your lineup almost.
I don't know how it works. I know, like, a couple times a week you have to, yeah.
I can't pay attention that
much. Yeah, no, there's just too many games with basketball to really try to do a fantasy lineup. So moving on from the NBA to the NCAA, there's a lot of good games going on in the top 25, starting with Michigan visiting Michigan State. Michigan State getting the upset on Penn State last week. They just got back into the top 25. They are ranked 24th, hosting the Wolverines of Michigan at Spartan Stadium. And I really think that's going to be a big game to watch, especially for Michigan, who's 4-0 in the Big Ten. They're 6-1 overall. That lone loss coming at the beginning of the season against Notre Dame. Michigan State now 4-2, 2-1 in the Big Ten. They have the line at Michigan by 7. And I think that it might be around there or by a field goal. This game is going to be a good one to watch. That will be on Fox. Again, that's a 12 o'clock kickoff. Oklahoma visits TCU at 12. That will be on ABC. On ESPN2, another game inside the Big Ten. Maryland visits number 19, Iowa. On ESPNU, number 20, Cincinnati will travel and play Temple in Philly. Illinois will travel and play Wisconsin. Wisconsin drops majorly in a top 25 rankings as they were 15th last week, but got dogged on by Michigan last week. Wisconsin, who was ranked 15th a week ago, is now ranked 23rd. The line is sitting at Wisconsin by 25 points against the Fighting Illini. That's a 12 o'clock kickoff on Fox Sports 1. At 3:30, Alabama will be at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, as they take on the Volunteers of Tennessee. That game will be on CBS. On ESPN at 3:30, number 16-ranked NC State will travel to Clemson to take on the Tigers. Tigers who move up to number 3 after the upset by Georgia, who got beat by LSU last week. They're up a spot in the AP poll. They are 6-0 and 3-0 in the ACC, coming off a bye from last week. On Fox at 3:30, Colorado visits number 15, Washington, in Seattle at Husky Stadium. On ABC at 3:30, number 18, Penn State travels to Indiana for another Big Ten matchup. At 7 o'clock on ESPN, the primetime game there, number 22, Mississippi State will travel to Baton Rouge, Louisiana to take on the Tigers of LSU inside Tiger Stadium. That'll be a game to watch as well. LSU, again, coming off that big-time win last week over number 2 ranked Georgia. On ESPN2 at 7 o'clock, number 10, UCF will visit East Carolina. That will probably be a blowout. They don't even have a line set for that game. At 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, UConn will travel to number 21 South Florida at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Holy crap, Trent. I'm looking at the weather predicted for that game. It's 90 degrees.
I wish. Jeez.
Yeah, it's like 45 here. It's insane.
I usually don't wear a coat, and I'm wearing my parka out everywhere just so I don't get sick.
I get that. The primetime game on ABC at 7:30. The Buckeyes of Ohio State will travel to West Lafayette, Indiana, to Ross-Ade Stadium to take on the Boilermakers of Purdue. They've given the Buckeyes a lot of nail-biter games the last couple of seasons. Hopefully, this is not one. I mean, the line's at 13 points for an Ohio State victory, so you never know. Dwayne Haskins is entering that game with 125 completions on 242 attempts for 2,331 passing yards and 28 touchdowns. Yeah.
Wow.
That is insane from the quarterback there from Ohio State. At 7:30 on Fox, another top 25 matchup, number 12 Oregon, who is 2-1 in the Pac-12, will travel to Pullman, Washington to take on Washington State inside Martin Stadium. That'll be a good game. They actually have Washington State by 3 in that game, which is kind of surprising. They're taking the lower-ranked team against the higher-ranked team. The last game inside the top 25, Vanderbilt will take on Kentucky at Kroger Field in Lexington. So that is all the top 25 matchups this weekend in week 8 of NCAA football. That's surprising. We're almost all the way through this season. We have 7 more weeks, so we're more than halfway through football season. That's hard to believe. Moving on from Saturday to Sunday to the NFL, there's a lot of games as well that I'm going to keep an eye out on. Looking at the teams on bye, though, it's Green Bay, Oakland, Pittsburgh, and Seattle. All those teams are on a bye this weekend. And like I mentioned on Monday, I do want to bring up on Friday when we were talking about the Monday night game with Green Bay and San Francisco. Holy crap, Trent. I was way off. It was 33-30, Green Bay won. And I thought Green Bay was going to come out and just obliterate San Francisco. San Francisco went back and forth with Green Bay. And they, at one point, had a double-digit lead at one point. They were up by like 10 or so. And I'm like, whoa. San Francisco was playing. So, yeah, I take back everything I said from that game. Because that was a really good game. But I'm sorry to say it for this week, San Francisco fans, doesn't look promising. Though you guys are at home, you guys get to play the Rams, and that game doesn't look good. but I think with you being a Browns fan, I think they might have a decent shot at coming out with a victory. They're on the road. They're at Tampa Bay, but the Buccaneers haven't been playing well here as of late, and it could be a good game.
I just know that Browns defense has been really
The Browns defense has been playing really well. I mean, you have Denzel Ward, that rookie from Ohio State, in the defensive back. Yeah, go Bucks.
It's my boy.
You got Myles Garrett there on the line, and they brought in a lot of good pieces too.
And I mean, I watched a little bit last week, and Peppers was really on.
Yeah, Jabril has really improved,
and on the like his returns and stuff. Mm-hmm. He was getting somewhere last week, so hopefully he just continues to pound.
Oh yeah, no question. I'm kind of interested in the New England Chicago game. That Bears defense has really improved with the addition of Khalil Mack, and surprisingly, Mitchell Trubisky has been playing really well too.
I almost picked him up in fantasy.
I picked him up. I'm thinking about starting him because with Yahoo, they rank like the quarterbacks by like teams they're playing, and New England's giving up the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So I'm half tempted to start him. I just picked up Taylor Gabriel, who's a wide receiver for Chicago, and he's had a decent week the last 2 out of 3. One of the weeks that I said 2 out of 3 is because they had a bye. But yeah, I mean, there's a 9:30 a.m. game. That's because they're in London. It's Tennessee against the Los Angeles Chargers. Then the 1 o'clock games goes New England at Chicago, Buffalo at Indianapolis, Detroit at Miami, Minnesota at New York, taking on the Jets, Carolina at Philly, Cleveland at Tampa Bay, and Houston at Jacksonville. The 4 o'clock games, New Orleans at Baltimore, Los Angeles, the Rams at San Francisco, Dallas at Washington. The primetime game on Sunday on NBC is Cincinnati at Kansas City. Then the Monday night game on ESPN at 8:15 is the New York Giants at the Atlanta Falcons. So there's some decent matchups in here. I'm really going to be looking forward to this New Orleans-Baltimore game. That could be a tone setter for the AFC North if Baltimore does lose. I mean, they'll still have the advantage over the Steelers, who the Steelers lost to the Ravens a couple of weeks ago. But Pittsburgh coming out with that victory against Cincy this past weekend, that was a nail-biter too. Right there with, like, they gave Cincy like 15 seconds left in the fourth quarter to come back and try to score, but wasn't enough. So that's it for everything sports-wise outside of Bluffton. Trent and I will be back with recaps of the games over the week and then looking at standings and games left here in the conference with football, volleyball, soccer, everything else that's in season right now. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1. The Wit.
From Shirley's Popcorn to the Bluffton Public Library, we are 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my co-host and partner in crime, Trent Mast. And now we will be diving into Bluffton Athletics. To start it off, I mean, golf, this was their last week of the fall season. Women wrapped up their fall season last week. With the HGAC Championships at Liberty Golf Club, or Country Club, I think it's Country Club. But the men, they will be at the HGAC Preview at Anderson Country Club starting at 11:30 tomorrow morning. They'll have the two-day invitational there. So good luck to the men in the conference preview meet at Anderson. And honestly, I've liked what I've seen this season with golf basically in the books. The women, the team is consisted of all freshmen, but they've really played well. They've really improved throughout the season, got accustomed to what college golf is all about. And I mean, same with the men. You got the returners from last year and then the freshmen who joined the team. Some of the returners have struggled a little bit, but it's okay because some of the freshmen have really played well to help keep this team afloat. And all in all, they all improved throughout the season as well.
Yeah, I was going to say we've seen improvement from every week. We've seen them improving in their scores. Yeah. Their scores have gotten lower and lower.
So. Yeah, and one of the last couple of invitationals, I know Coach Rick was telling us that they had one of the best days in Bluffton men's golf history too. So we wish the best of luck to this men's golf team here this weekend and also for the next couple of years to help this program build and get better and better. So moving on from men's golf, we'll jump right into men's soccer. The men's soccer team had a game at Mount St. Joseph on Wednesday. That was a night game. You guys were under the lights for, what, the first time this season?
Second? Our first game of the year was under the lights because it was a 7 o'clock as well.
You're right. But before I dive into the recap, how'd it go? I mean, you guys unfortunately dropped this game in OT to MSJ, lost 2-1. But, I mean, it looked like you guys played well. You forced overtime at least.
Yeah, we started out really strong. We scored, I believe it was like 12 minutes into the game. Dalton Tainer had it's kind of a 1v1 breakaway a little bit, just finessed it into the back of the net. So, I mean, we were up 1-0 going into halftime. We were playing really good. I mean, it was a battle. MSJ, they were really, it was their senior night, so they played a lot. They had upperclassmen playing. They had some younger guys too, but they were big, they were strong. They weren't brutal, but they were really, really physical.
Right.
And I mean, we're young, kind of small. We don't have a lot of height on our team. I mean, Igor's tall.
Yeah, he's probably one of your
Igor's the tallest guy. He's like 6'4". But then after that, we have maybe two other people that are over 6 foot, and all the rest of us are under six foot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say we're the biggest team because obviously we're not, but I mean, they were physical, and then they just come the second half. I think we were just tired a little bit. I mean, we were getting beat up a little there. Yeah. As I said, they were really physical. They came out, they put one goal away. It was kind of just dumb luck. I mean, it was like fumbling around inside the 18, and then they just, someone got a foot on it and it went in. They had forced OT. I mean, we had a couple other chances. We just couldn't put them away.
Mm-hmm.
And then OT, it was just another play again, just fumbling around in the box. We couldn't clear it. They weren't really getting anything clean on it, and it just found its way in the back of the net.
Right. The Bluffton University men's soccer team led for nearly 65 minutes before Mount St. Joseph knocked in the equalizer with less than 14 minutes left in regulation on a cold Wednesday, October 17th. The Lions ended it when Sergi Dole found the back of the net just over 3 minutes into the first extra session for a come-from-behind 2-1 victory. Bluffton fell to 2-13 overall and 1-5 in the HCAC, while Mount St. Joseph improved to 4-10-1 and 3-3 in the conference. As Trent said, freshman Dalton Tainer put the Beavers up 1-0 at the 11:30 mark with his team-best sixth goal of the season. The spread held up until Zachary Teague knotted it late in period two. The Lions finished with a 16-9 advantage in shots, but the Beavers put one more on frame, 8-7. MSJ forced all 9 corner kicks in the match, and the home team was whistled for 2 more fouls, 11-9. Tainer led the Beaver offense with 3 shots on goal, including his first half tally. Fellow freshman Hunter Fleck fended off 5 Lions shot attempts in the OT setback. Bluffton will be home this Saturday as they welcome Transylvania. The HCAC matchup is slated for 3:30 p.m. following the women's game versus the Pioneers. That game will be at 1, and we'll get to that here in a minute. I mean, it was a hard-fought game.
Yeah.
Like, you can't discredit anything from this game. Like you said, it was just some lucky shots that they got in. But, I mean, you guys have, what, 3-4 more games left of the season?
We have Saturday, and then next Wednesday we have home, and then we're away to finish off the season at Anderson.
So Wednesday will be your senior day.
We don't have seniors.
That is true. You're very right. I know this, too. But, yeah, I mean, Wednesday will be your
final home game of the
year. Yeah, final home game. I guess it's kind of hard to call it a senior day when you don't have seniors. But, I mean, looking at the rest of the slate for the conference, I mean, you guys host Transy on Saturday. Hanover will be at Anderson on Saturday. Mount St. Joseph will be at Defiance. Rose will be at Manchester. And Franklin will be at Earlham. And looking at the standings in the conference, Rose is at the top. They're 8-5-1 overall, but 5-1 in the conference. Hanover is 8-6 overall, 5-1 in the conference. Transy is 6-4-3, 4-1-1 in the conference. Defiance is 4-2 in the conference. Manchester is 3-3. So isn't Mount St. Joseph. Anderson is 2-3-1. Franklin, Earlham, and Bluffton are all 1-5 in the conference.
There's a big upset yesterday, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Transylvania.
You mean Wednesday?
Wednesday, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Transylvania beat Hanover.
Really?
I believe. Because Hanover was at the top, and then they...
Yeah, Transy beat them 1-0. Wow.
I mean, Hanover kind of took it to us a little bit, but I know we're all... I mean, Transy doesn't play really well on grass. They're more of a turf team, and...
I mean, that's kind of an advantage for you guys on Saturday, tomorrow.
They're kind of inconsistent from what we've seen, watched in film, talked about with coach. So we're just... I mean, we've been improving every single game.
Yeah.
And we never know what to expect from them, it seems like, this year. So I think it's going to be a hard-fought game, and it could come out either way. So.
Well, I'm hoping I'll be there for the game. My family's coming down or coming up since I live south, so they'll be coming up. Courtney always gets me on that because, like, I'll be like, so when's your family coming up to visit? She's like, you mean down, because she's from Michigan. I'm like, whatever, it's the same thing.
I'm from the other side of the state.
Yeah.
I'll just say my family's coming here.
Right. That's yeah. When's your family coming to visit? There. Anyways, so moving on from the men's soccer and everything going on with men's soccer and the HCAC, we'll jump into the women's soccer of Bluffton and talk about what's going on in the conference as well. The women also had a game on Wednesday. Their game was at home, and it was played at 3 o'clock. They hosted Mount St. Joseph, but Mount St. Joseph came out on top 4-1. The women's soccer team came up short on the scoreboard, but the post-game fireworks brightened up the sky when Lauren Foster Wheeler said yes to Eric Benji, who graduated from Bluffton. He was a senior last year. He was on the track team. He was a thrower. He proposed to Lauren at midfield. It was a very good sight to see. Following the loss, Bluffton slipped to 1-12-1 overall and 0-6 in the HCAC, while Mount St. Joseph improved to 12-1-3 and 5-0-1 in the conference with a 4-1 victory on a cool Wednesday, October 17th. And my goodness, was it cool. Whew.
It was so cold yesterday.
It was cold on Wednesday. I mean, where they have the bleachers at the Sears complex is like guarded by the trees.
Yeah.
So like even if it's sunny out, you don't have the sun because of the trees. I wish they would move them, but I don't know where you would move the fans' stands to is the problem. Anyways, back to recapping the game. The Lions jumped on top with a Jody Weimer tally just 1 minute and 33 seconds into the game. Bluffton kept it a one-score difference until minute 38 when Mount St. Joseph made it 2-0. Two more scores early in the second half pushed the spread to 4-0 until sophomore Abigail Newkirk headed home her first collegiate goal thanks to a cross from senior Skylar Liming, making the final score 4-1 in favor of the visitors. Liming paced the Beavers with 6 shots, including 4 on frame. Sophomore keeper Sienna Sullivan turned away 13 Lions shot attempts. Mount St. Joseph finished with a marked 38-8 edge in shots while forcing 6 of the 8 corner kicks Wednesday afternoon. The Lions were whistled for 2 more fouls, 8-6, than the Beavers. As I mentioned with the men, Bluffton is back at the Sears Complex for Senior Day for the women, not for the men. Kickoff is slated at 1 o'clock when Transylvania rolls into town, and they make that trip up Interstate 75 from Lexington, Kentucky. The women's team does have 2 seniors that will be Skylar Liming and Taylor Good. I know Taylor, she took last year off, came back this year, yeah. So... having a good senior season for the Beavers, and Skylar obviously being the offensive powerhouse the last 4 years for this women's soccer team. So we wish them the best of luck on Saturday. I mean, I don't want to really say anything about the game. I mean, I was there, but I don't know much about soccer to really explain more in depth of what went on. Were you able to talk to any of the women's players at all before your guys' game or no?
No. We got there and kind of just chilled in the locker room and then got ready for our game. But from just reading over the recap and seeing, I mean, they scored 1.5 minutes into the game. So it just seems like, and they scored pretty quickly again in the second half. So just coming out of those breaks and the starting of games, didn't seem like they were mentally prepared, mentally ready. And then just late in the halves, probably they were a little winded, a little tired. So, I mean, they still, like we've been saying, they don't have a lot of numbers. I mean, they've had girls in and out of games because of injury. So
they have girls who are still playing who are injured too.
True. And so, I mean, just right there, I mean, they scored 1 off of a cross to a header. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're still, even though it was 4-0 when they put in a goal, I mean, they're not giving up.
Yeah.
You see that they're continuing to play even when it seems like the game's out of reach. They're still pushing and trying to
get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you always want to see. You don't want to see your team out there just, oh, it's 4-0.
Why
the game's already over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just right there just shows heart and a will to want to win.
Yeah, and also we'd like to congratulate Abigail on her first collegiate goal. A long time coming. Hopefully there's a lot more where that came from, Abby. So looking at soccer inside the HCAC on the women's side, I mean, they're all at 1 o'clock in Hanover. Are you surviving over there, man?
It's been so cold. I'm just coughing and sniffling. So
I feel it. I'm praying I don't get a cold from how cold it's been.
That's why I've been wearing my coat.
That's why I have mine on today, yes. But Hanover is at Anderson tomorrow. Transy, as I mentioned, will be here at the Sears Complex to take on our Beavers. Rose will be at Manchester, Mount St. Joseph will be at Defiance, and Franklin will be at Earlham. Looking at the standings inside the conference, Hanover is at the top. They're 6-0 inside the HCAC. They are 13-1. They only have one blemish on that record. And my goodness, what a record! What a year for women's and men's soccer, really, at Hanover. I mean, this past Saturday when they were both at the top. Yeah, the women's team is ranked nationally. I'm not sure what the rank is.
It was 17th or 18th, I do believe, last weekend when we went and traveled there.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably up a little bit more between at least 13 and 18.
True.
Mount St. Joseph is second in the conference at 5-0-1. Rose is third at 4-2. They're also tied with Franklin at 4-2. Anderson's 3-1-2 at the fifth spot. Trainsy is 3-2-1. Defiance is 2-4. Earlham is 1-5. And Bluffton and Manchester sit at the bottom of the conference with an 0-6 record inside the HCAC. Bluffton, though, does have the upper hand overall. They're 1-12-1, while Manchester is 0-16. So Trent and I, we need to take a break. We've been talking too much. We'll be back with more Bluffton Athletics. We'll be finishing out the show with volleyball and football. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
From Luke's to Southgate Lanes, we are 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mass in our third and final
segment.
Yeah, thank you. My mind went blank there for a second. our third and final segment, we will discuss what's going on with volleyball inside the conference and their game this weekend. And we'll discuss football, what's going on in the conference and standings. Bluffton, though, does have a bye week, so we don't have a football game to report on. But on Tuesday, Bluffton, the volleyball team, traveled to Anderson University. They bounced back and swept the Ravens. This volleyball team had no time to wallow following its first HCAC loss of the season on Sunday. They traveled to Anderson, as I mentioned, for a matchup with the Ravens. On Tuesday, Bluffton worked overtime in the Lidlifter, posting a 30-28 victory before completing the sweep with convincing 25-15 and 25-11 wins in sets 2 and 3. Yeah, they put the hammer down on sets 2 and 3.
Seems like they just got a little mad at set 1 being that close, and they just took it to them.
Looks like it, yeah. Bluffton survived the opener thanks to 3 Anderson service errors. After the set was tied at 24, Abby Rohrbach and Aaron Weisgarber served the Beavers to an easy victory in set 2, both ripping off 5 straight points at the line as the visitors turned an 11-9 lead into a 24-13 spread in a hurry. Freshman Brooke Clement continued the trend with 5 straight winners at the service line to kick off the clincher as Bluffton cruised in with a 25-11 victory in set 3. With her third pickup of the night, Rohrbach became the second Beaver to eclipse 1,000 career digs this season, following in the footsteps of fellow senior Aaron Weisgarber. She just missed double figures with 8 digs. Clement topped the Bluffton defense with 13 digs, while Bethany Martini chipped in with 11. Weisgarber continued her match toward the all-time assist mark with 36 assists in the 3-set victory. Courtney Zimpfer and Weisgarber added 7 digs apiece. Martini was too much for the Ravens, slamming home 15 kills on just 28 swings for a .393 hitting percentage. Fellow sophomores Remy Bauer and Jessica Lavelle went for 8 kills apiece, while Weisgarber helped out the cause with 7 winners. Rohrbach and Clement rifled 4 and 3 aces, respectively. Now, I mean, reading this recap and just looking at the score, I mean, they really bounced back from that home loss last Sunday against Transy. I mean, I'll wait for that. We'll get to this in a minute. So Bluffton will be back in action tonight when they travel to Franklin College for another HCAC road clash with the Grizzlies. The first serve is slated for 7 o'clock, so here in about 20-plus minutes or so. But as I was talking about, looking at the standings, I'll get to the rest of the games going on in the conference for volleyball here shortly. But tied, I mean... Well, sort of. I mean, Transylvania sitting at the top at 6-1. They played one more game than everybody else has, and that was with Defiance, I do believe, yeah. Rose and Bluffton are just under Transy at 5-1 apiece. But looking at the season, we beat Rose in the season 3-1. Transy beat us on Sunday 3-1. And Rose beat Transy 3-0. So by the time it comes down to look at conference play, depending on if one of these three teams drop another game, it's going to be a three-way tie for first place. And I don't honestly know how you'll seed that.
Rock, paper, scissors.
That's one way. I don't know if that's the way they'll go, but I'm sure it has to do with like other stats and stuff like that.
Probably. I think it goes, I was talking with, I don't remember, probably Sarah Heidinger, how they do it, because she's Pat's girlfriend and Pat's my roommate. But, I mean, I think I was talking to Pat, and Pat was talking to her.
And Sarah is on the volleyball team,
it was
for folks who don't know.
Somebody, I was discussing with them how they would seed it, because it was,
there was a tie. If it, yeah.
And I believe it's something with who beats who, but if all three of them have lost to somebody that's up in the top, I don't know how they would do that.
Well, would they look at like sets one, because if so, it will be Rose because they beat Transy 3-0.
It might be who's played, like who's won in the least amount of sets over the entire
over those three teams or in the entire conference.
I think it's the entire conference because you play everybody in the conference, so it would be who did the best out of everybody in the conference.
Right,
if I'm thinking correctly.
I mean, that might be it. I'm not sure, though. I mean, that's something we can ask Coach Yarnell, too, here soon. But, I mean, looking at the rest of the conference, you got Earlham sitting at 4th at 3-3, Hanover in 5th at 2-3, Anderson under Hanover at 2-4, Mount St. Joseph and Franklin tied with Anderson at 2-4, Defiance is at 2-5, and Manchester at the bottom of the conference at 1-4. Looking at the schedule for this weekend in volleyball, I mean, as I mentioned, we got Bluffton at Franklin tonight at 7. Also tonight at 7, Transylvania will be at Thomas More. So that will be a huge game. I mean, nothing conference-wise, but that will be a big game for Transy as they go play Thomas More. Tomorrow, starting at noon, Earlham will be at Anderson. At 1 o'clock, Mount St. Joseph will be at Manchester. At 2, Rose will be at Hanover. And at 5, Trine will be at Manchester. Oh, it looks like Manchester has a tri-match. I would assume a tri-match because they have two games up there at 1-5 against Mount and Trine. So that will be a tough day there for Manchester. I was looking also on the HGAC website. We have a lot of girls. And I know I didn't do this with the other teams. I mean, I can. But, I mean, looking at the stat leaders for volleyball, I mean, we have Bethany Martini first in kills with 321.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Kills per set, we have Bethany Martini number one at 3.73. Hitting percentage, we got Aaron Weisgarber sitting third at a 292. Assist leader, Aaron Weisgarber on the year has 763, not 300. 763, Weisgarber sitting third in the conference. She's also sitting third in assists per set with 9.3. Points this year, Bethany Martini sitting atop with 337.5 points. That's insane. Points per set, Martini sitting first at 3.9. She's actually tied with Jordan Horn from Transy, but that's insane. Looking at the defensive side, Brooke Clemen is sitting fourth and Diggs at 435. She's also sitting fourth in Diggs per set at 5.06. Clemen is also sitting at fifth in service aces at 36. She's tied for third. Thanks for the catch. And so she's tied for third. Actually, it looks like Abby Rohrbach also has 36 as well. Rohrbach also is sitting tied for fourth in service aces per set at 0.42. So our Bluffton volleyball team is really putting in the work, and I mean, it shows. You have a lot of these girls in the top five of these different categories, and that just goes to show that these ladies want this conference title again, and that they want to put in the work, and it's paying off. So congratulations to this volleyball team. Should I go through soccer?
Sure. I'm kind of interested, but
I'm sure everybody else is too. So why not? Skyler, don't have anybody in points.
Skyler is in for shots.
Yeah, so we have Skyler Lyman second in shots at 59. Looking at goalkeepers, Sienna Sullivan has 104 saves. She's in third place in the conference with 104 in save percentage. Jules Frazier, our second string goalie, is sitting in fifth place at .795 save percentage. So we have some Beavers up there playing pretty well. Men's soccer, don't have anybody offensively. Defensively, though, Hunter Fleck, the freshman goalkeeper for the boys, is tied for first with 72 saves on the year. And that's pretty impressive for your freshman year to have that many. That's pretty good. I guess we'll jump to football since we're getting ready to talk about them. Looking at football stats, passing leaders, Plemy Gardner sitting fifth with 155.3 passing yards per game. Plummy's also sitting fifth with 8 touchdowns. Interceptions, though, Plummy is leading in the conference with 13. I know it's one thing that's been hurting Bluffton is all the turnovers, and having 13 interceptions is, I mean, with it being your first year actually starting, it's not bad going having 8 and 13, but that's the one thing you know heading into this offseason that you need to work on. Rushing-wise, we got Drake Campbell sitting fifth with 395 yards. He's also sitting fifth with 65.8 yards per game, sitting fifth again with 4.8 rushing yards per rush. Then touchdowns, we don't have anybody in the top five. Receiving leaders, Bluffton does not have anybody in any category in receptions, yards, yards per game, or touchdown. Defensively, though, we should have people in here. Tackles, we don't have anybody in the top five. Solo tackles, though, we have Stefan Kazakowski with 32 solos. That's pretty impressive. And sacks, our very own Isaac Sigafoos, he has 6. And then interceptions, Donovan Clark is tied for second with 4. Oh, also, Stefan Kazakowski is tied for 4th with 3. So our defense is playing really well. I mean, offenses, too. I mean, Plummy's out there with yards and touchdowns. And Drake is in there with rushing yards as well. But congratulations to everybody who is cracking these top 5 lists for season stats. That is pretty impressive. And as I mentioned, Bluffton is on a bye this week. They'll get back into the swing of things next week on the road when they go play Anderson. That'll be a 1:30 kickoff next Saturday, October 27th. But that's next week. This week, looking at the games, we got Mount St. Joseph at Defiance, Earlham at Franklin. I'm sorry, Earlham, but that will be an easy win for Franklin. Hanover will be at Manchester, and Anderson will be at Rose. Looking at the standings, Hanover is at the top of the conference, tied with Franklin. They're both 4-0. Franklin coming off that very impressive win against Mount St. Joseph, who is sitting third at 4-1 in the conference. Manchester is now 3-2 after the victory over our Beavers on Saturday. Anderson's at 2-2. Rose is at 2-2. Bluffton at 1-4. So we're not at the bottom, which is good. Earlham's at 0-5, and Defiance is at 0-4. So our next game against Anderson, it should be a pretty interesting one. Hopefully things are on the upside for our Beaver football team for next Saturday.
The only thing really hurting our team, it seems like, the past couple weeks has been either our fumbles or our interceptions. And having this bye week this week, I think you have 2 weeks of practice before your next match, next game, I guess. Why do I? Because we call soccer a match. But anyway, going into your next game, you have 2 weeks of working on offensively keeping the ball. And I mean, last week our defense did.
Our defense did pretty well. Yeah. I mean, we only gave up 7 points.
7 points. So like our defense held it. But offensively, we just need to take care of the ball a little.
Yeah.
A little better with this 2 weeks. 2 weeks of no games and just focusing on practice every day. Just getting in.
Ball security really is the big thing that
big thing that they need to work on and keep in mind as they move through next week's practices before their game.
Yeah, so because once this week is over, they only have 3 weeks left of the season. You got Anderson next week. The week after that, you are at Franklin, which this doesn't, I mean, there's always that possibility of an upset, but how Franklin is and how they've always been, That's going to be a tough game for our Beavers. And then on November 10th, in 3 weeks, it's senior day here at Alumni Field inside the White Salzman Stadium as we host that other purple team, Defiance. So, I mean, we do have opportunities within this next month, really, to secure at least two more victories on the year. And I do believe, I have the faith that we can secure two of these victories.
Two out of three.
Yeah. I mean, Anderson should be a really good game. The one, again, as we mentioned, the one thing that they'll have to look out for will be the turnover ratio. The Franklin game here in 3 weeks, like, this isn't discredit to any of the members of the team. Franklin's just a tough team. I mean, they've always been that powerhouse of the conference. But like I said, I mean, was it like 2-3 years ago, they made the upset on Franklin. It's just going to be tough. The turnover, again, is going to be the key in that game. And then against Defiance hasn't had the season they wanted to this year. So hopefully that will continue. And then we'll roll on senior day, beating that other purple school. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWIT.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joining along with Trip Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.
Roll Beef.